This is A Lost Plot, the podcast where we explore meaning in movies together. Hello, universe. Welcome back. It is your boy, Maverick, back with you, bringing you another episode of A Lost Plot. Today, we have our classic co-host with us today, bringing us a recent release. Hello, Avalon, and welcome back.
Hello, hola, konnichiwa, and leho.
Now, today we are reviewing a recent release, which we will get to in a minute, but today we wanted to thank one of our supporters. Now, this one was not a review, but they reached out to us individually, and they said, actually, it's an old friend of mine I haven't heard from in a long time, but he said, I somehow discovered your podcast, and I have listened to 4 episodes since yesterday's, and then recommended a movie for us to go on and review. So I appreciated Zach B for reaching out. We always support the love. We always appreciate whenever someone reaches out to us. If you guys have a movie you want to see reviewed, or if you guys want to at least help support the show, please leave us a review. It makes a big difference, and we read every single one of them. So getting back into the show today, we are reviewing the ISS, or the International Space Station movie, which was released as of January 19th in 2024 this year. However, it was actually released in its world premiere at the Tribeca Festival in June 12th of 2023. So it actually has been around for about 6 months, which I thought was a little surprising that it took that long for them to actually release it in the film. Abroad, I guess. But anyways, it was written by Nick Schaefer, or Shafir, directed by Gabriella Cowparthwaite, starring Ariana DeBose as Dr. Kira Foster, Chris Messina as Gordon Barrett, Pilo Asbeck as Alexei Polov, who many people will know more commonly from as being Euron Greyjoy from Game of Thrones, and on and on. But regardless of the cast, the writers, the directors, more importantly, Avalon, we really want to know, what are we even talking about? What is this recent release even about?
So ISS is a story that takes place in space. It takes place aboard the International Space Station almost completely, aside from like the very opening shot and the very final shot of the movie. So it like the whole story is... So it's all in space, all on the space station. And literally, it's just about essentially the crew of this space station, which is a mix of US and Russian astronauts. Essentially, they're there to study things, to research stuff. But while they're up there, they witness explosions and like evidence of war activity, nuclear activity on Earth. And then they suddenly, both sides, the Russians and the U.S., get messages from their commanders telling them to take the ISS. And so then the rest of the movie is like seeing who will like come out on top, more or less, what will happen.
That's a pretty good summary. I mean, it's pretty straightforward as a plot line goes. You're not going to see... Well, maybe I shouldn't just say that. We should get into the actual review. So... out of the 9-point system that we use to rate these movies, Avalon, what did you give this one?
So in a weird turn of fate, mine is a solid 6. No decibel points.
Oh boy. Oh boy. I am so excited because finally we get back to the good old days. Back before we created this solid system where I have a lower rating than you.
Oh,
today.
Well, I'll be honest. I thought you might give it. I wasn't sure where you were going to rate it. I was a little lenient on some things. I admit I was lenient. So,
okay. Interesting.
And there was a few things which I wasn't sure where to rate it. So it's possible my rating will change. So I am willing to admit that right now. Like there was a few points here that I wasn't sure what to put the score.
No, it was interesting because when I saw this, I thought, you know, this gives me very similar independent movie, almost impressions, similar to what I got from The Marsh King's Daughter, which we reviewed back in, I believe it was October of last year. If you want to give that a look, me and Patrick reviewed that one. But Instead, this one turned out to be much lower because I think that one was about a 6, and this one I gave a 4.3. So it'll be interesting to see exactly where we depart. But anyways, let's get into it. So the opening scene, did you think it was one that caught your attention, made you want to keep watching? I really was engaging. What'd you think?
Personally, for me, and maybe this is just me, I'm a little hesitant. Like, I gave it a high, I thought the opening did catch my attention, but that's also because I'm a little bit of a sucker for space opera, like space stories. So it's like, as soon as it became clear that these, like the opening shot of them, like ascending into space, like their ship getting to the space station, as soon as like they're like, everything is floating and like they're docking and getting aboard the space, like, okay, it created this interesting, okay, we're in space, we're in this International Space Station. I was like, okay, where are we going from here? It's like, there's a part of me, and like, and it was believable. Like, you could see things floating around, people like moving around in zero G.
Yeah, I agree with you on this point. I thought that the opener was pretty solid. Like, they gave you the magnificence of space, right? But they also give you, oh, this is the International Space Station. You have the small indications that some things aren't happy in each of these people's lives, but overall, they're excited to be here. You have the fun jabs with one another. You have the banter. You have this, like, hey, there's some things we don't talk about, like politics up here, but overall, we are getting along together pretty well. It's a good time, you know, all that kind of stuff. I thought they put everything on a good footing, especially at the beginning. And I really enjoyed it. I honestly thought that this was one of those times where it was one of the most cohesive opening scenes I think I've seen, where it was really quick and to the point. A couple of the, like, oh, I've had this, you know, my ex-wife, whatever, is doing with the daughters or whatnot, I thought was a little cheesy as an opener, but overall, it was like, it wasn't like too bad.
Yeah, there was a few lines here and there, like, okay, they're just throwing that in there. It didn't necessarily follow, like, in the conversation and flow of things to just say that in the moment, but it was just like, okay, suddenly talking about your daughters on Earth, like, it seemed a little odd. I mean, well, I guess, what was that, Christian, the character?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he starts
the one who came up with Kira. Yeah,
yeah. I guess the only thing that could defend that point is that he does tend to, like, talk when he's under pressure. So it's like he does. So maybe, like, you could arguably say that's what he was doing in the moment, but that's a hard sell for me. So
yeah, So I think that there was enough that it wasn't like a big issue in mind. It was just like, okay, you can have some explanation for this. You know, they have some backstory. Maybe they know each other very well. Maybe they're good friends. We don't know. So to have that, I didn't really hate that as an opener. It just felt a little odd personally, but overall it was pretty good. I loved how they had the jokes between the Russians and the Americans and about how the cultural barriers and all that stuff, and how, you know, they were figuring out how to drink in space and all that stuff. Oh, you can't open the bottle, you know, all of those things were great. So I really liked, I think the opener was actually phenomenal overall. The corny lines here or there aren't much to detract from it. I think it was pretty great. What did you think about the main character?
So this is the one part of the opening sequence that, I mean, of this whole movie that I kind of took points away from, because the more I thought about her character, the less I felt she was compelling. And I began to realize, like, you know what? She's not really flawed. She doesn't really struggle. She's maybe a little naive, but she's like, and of course she and there is like scenes of danger where she's like hiding with the others. Like, so it's not like she's like invincible or anything, and it's not like she's flaunting or prideful or anything like that. It's just she's not really put in a position to, I don't know, like, she's not fully rounded, I guess would be a way to say, like, maybe naive. Okay. But that's like the only thing I could think of, that maybe she's flawed as a character.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
But like, as a character, like, she's not, I guess she's not fully rounded in my book. It just, like, so it's harder to relate to her as a character.
Sure. I mean, I don't know that.
And to be honest, her side characters were much more interesting. The other characters aboard the space station.
Well, that's one of the things I definitely agree with you on that. So. I think, like, you can have naive characters such as children who are still compelling in a lot of different scenarios. So I don't know that being naive is necessarily the biggest thing. I think her flaw and we'll get into this later for sure, but I think it had to do with her quote-unquote hurt that she had from the past, where she didn't really have people around her, and that was because she didn't really trust anyone after her relationship breakup that she hints to Gordon about in their discussion while he was climbing outside the ship. So there's that. And so I think, and that's the central theme of the story. So
her flaw, it's not consistent then, because she trusts some of the characters too easily in the movie.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is that that's her flaw, but also the central message of the story. Right. And so the thing isn't that she doesn't have a flaw. The thing is that she overcomes her flaw very quickly in the story. And so you don't have as much of an arc with her as you would with, say, someone else. Definitely no sense of the grand Ebenezer Scrooge type arc that you could get with a character. It's a very simplistic arc overall, but she it is there. So I think it's worth mentioning growth. I don't really think as a hero she's very compelling. And it's very clear that she is the protagonist of the story. Right. Everything focuses around her. Every interaction is kind of based around how she perceives it. So it's not like, and there's a couple times where you see the Russian, so that's not 100% the case. But for the most part, it's her, and it's very clear that she's the one who's supposed to carry the mantle in this story.
Like, if there's a viewpoint we're supposed to be following, it's hers for the most part. Like, we go to other people to get full perspectives on some things, but it's like, I mean, because it does follow everyone in the crew, and because we only have a cast of six people, like, that's the whole movie. So it's like you can easily follow everyone, but like, she's clearly because we start with her in the movie and we end with her. Like, she is she is the protagonist.
So it'll be, and we'll see more how that plays out. But the side characters, obviously you preferred them more than the main character. You want to go into why you thought that was the case? What really stood out about those characters?
Well, it's because the characters, like, and maybe it's because, like, I mean, everyone has their own morality in this movie. Whereas, like, you kind of get a handle on where each of them stand morally, like, from the get, like, pretty early on. And it's not even like, oh, I'm this or that. It's like, it just, in their interactions, like, it naturally comes out of them in the conversations they have. So, which I really appreciated. Like, and also, not only that, but as the movie progresses, like, they have their own goals. They each have their own desires, own needs. Like, all the characters, like, their actions are believable, where it's like the side characters, where it's like, you could see, like, oh, you know what they want. You know what drives them. So it's like, you see them acting in accordance with their beliefs. And it's like, okay, that makes, like, it makes sense why each character is taking the route they do.
Yeah.
Even the characters who are conflicted, like, what's his name? Alexei, like, he's conflicted. And it's like, you can see the struggle. He's like, he's not sure where he stands and what he should be doing. Like, he knows what he should do, but he doesn't agree with it. And it's clear he doesn't agree with it.
And you even see that to a certain degree with Nikolai too. And this is, this is kind of jumping a little bit ahead for the audience, but more or less the power seems to be not going super well. And then everyone receives, the Americans receive a command to take over the International Space Station, and the Russians receive the same command at the same time. And it's interesting to see how both parties try to grasp that. Gordon, who's the main leader of the American side, basically opts for trust at the beginning, where he goes, we're all friends in this. Let's slowly try to figure this out. Kind of wait for more information, right? Whereas the Russians, you have a little bit of hidden information, right? Their leader, Nikolai, he's a little more decisive and knows that Veronika is partial to Gordon and would side with the Americans if given the opportunity. And so he withholds the information that they're supposed to take over the ISS from her, and instead tells Alexei to go and scramble their communications. Doesn't tell him that he plans on killing Gordon by launching him off into space. But even within that, it's interesting because while you see that Nikolai is so strongly driven by duty, right? And immediately responds to the call of the motherland to take out the Americans. you could see him like in tears in the first encounter where he's like, there's a certain sense in which he can't believe it's come to this, but he's so strongly driven by his understanding of his responsibility and duty that that immediately trumps everything else. And it's the easiest decision for him is like, I must do what I can for my country. That is who I serve. Right.
Yeah.
And so he has the easiest arc. And I think that that's interesting because
I don't know if it would be called an easy decision because it is a dilemma for him where it's like he does care a little bit about the Americans because they are his like companions on the space station. It's just that the reason he is in tears is because he doesn't want to. But so like, he is kind of like Alexei in that regard where it's like, okay, they both like struggle with following the orders. But unlike Alexei, he's decided I am going to follow Russia's commands and try to take over the space station. And the first step to doing that is to get rid of the captain of the U.S. side. I forget his name. Gordon.
Yeah, Gordon. Yeah.
Yeah. Or at least attempt to.
Right. Right. No, and I think, yeah, it's important to note that he doesn't just... It's not like he isn't conflicted. And I think that that's important because... Well, I guess maybe we should just jump right to that. What do you think about the villain in this story? Is the villain compelling?
Should we say villains? Because technically there's... I mean, in a way, it's more than one.
Or the obstacle. Either way, yeah.
So, I mean, in a way, it is very compelling because it's like you have... And as I said, the side characters are fully developed. So in the situation on Earth, where it's like somehow... some kind of warfare. We aren't even told what happened on Earth. Like the whole movie, we're left in the dark. Like what happened? Just some act of war took place, and now Russia and U.S. are at each other's throats. You can see the damage of some kind of nuclear bombs going off somewhere. It's not even clear where in the world they went off. Like because you see a lot of them. Yes, a lot of them went off. It's clear something happened. Major happened. Like you see this happen. This already creates tensions with the crew who have family on Earth, and they're like, what happened? They're not getting any information from Earth about what happened on Earth. Then they get these commands, the commanders of each side. The rest of the crew find out gradually, and then it's like, that tests everyone, because now everyone's on edge. It's like, what do we do? Like, do we follow these orders? Do we try to stick together? Do we wait for more info? And on top of this, the space station is about to fall out of... the sky because the thruster stopped working and they're not getting any command like any information from HQ, so they can't fix the thrusters. So, like, they have a day literally to figure this all out. Just creates a very tense scenario where it's like people are moving around. There's several scenes where like it keeps you on the edge of your seat because it's like you see actions being done, people in dangerous situations, and it's like the stakes are just gradually being raised and you're forced to like watch as things play out as people make their move. But the villain, I would say, as far as Nikolai goes, like, he's a compelling villain. As we've already discussed him, like, he's very loyal. Like, if he's a patriot, if there's a patriot for Russia on this crew, it's him. Like, he's clearly the and in a way it could be said that's why he's the head of the Russian side of the team, like, because he's the head. Like, he's loyal to the motherland. He's like, he reports directly to them. And every decision he makes is in accordance with Russia's will.
I'm going to kind of try to provide a different scenario for looking at this, because this is kind of how I viewed the villains in this story. And that I do think Nikolai is, and maybe this is where I think this movie's interesting in regards to movies that I've seen. It's that I think that the obstacle in this movie is not primarily the Russians or the Americans. I think the primary villain or the primary obstacle is each person's individual struggle inside themselves. And I think it's that they have to decide, are they going to trust the commands of their country, or are they going to trust each other and work through this? And it was any time any person turned in or like agreed to trust their country, they then turned into a villain and decided to go against everyone else and become the obstacle. And I think that that's why you see slowly people become enemies in this story. where you have, it starts with Nikolai, and then you have Gordon, and then you have Christian, like each of these characters who quickly devolve as they decide, well, we're going against the other people and we're going to kill them, that's when you have the real problems in the story. And so that's, go ahead. Feel free to push back.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't say that it's necessary. I mean, it is trust. I can see what you're saying, but I don't know if it's necessarily the country, like, necessarily. Because in the case of Christian, his isn't necessarily, I don't think his is like a U.S. patriot kind of thing. Like, if you listen to his dialogue,
sure,
his is more selfish, where it's like, I need to find out. And, well, not necessarily, it's sort of selfish, where, like, he wants to know what happened to his daughters at home. So it's like, and he's putting that over everyone else on the crew, where it's like, he's willing to put everyone else's lives at risk just to sneak off and get to the ship and get away. Like, and also he's going to, like, he lies to Kira. Is that her name? Yeah. But he lies to her and hides the radiation medicine or whatever, the valuable, medicine they're talking about at one point. So it's like, he's going to sneak off with the most valuable research on board, more or less.
Right.
But it's all a selfish decision. It's a personal reason. It's not U.S. or patriotism or anything like that. So
sure. And I think that was more of a general broad brushstroke, just to understand each of them has the more internal struggle. I think you can make the case for what I'm saying, but I think it more aligns with what you're saying. The bigger point is that and I think he's a more complex character compared to the other characters in this story. So I do like that, you have this idea that this character is an ally to Kira at one point in the movie and then an enemy later on, depending on the scenario. So I do appreciate how cohesive all of that was in this story. And I think that's what makes this interesting, is that you have these characters. All of it is this internal struggle of how they deal with this scenario, and they're all dealing with it very differently, right? But I think part of that is just because of how they internally are processing. Well, what's important to me? Who do I trust? What do I think is important in this scenario? And at the end of the day, Christian isn't willing to trust other people, right? Mm-hmm. Kira chooses to trust other people. Alexei chooses to trust other people, right? And so that's where you get the resolutions in this. Mm-hmm. But
In a way, what's her name? Veronica Vetrov, she also trusts too, but she's the one who tells the truth to Kira first before Christian deceives her, but she ends up dying because she looks like she's going to blow up the space station when she's really just creating a distraction.
Right. Yeah, and that was
in a way, her actions it kind of makes sense, because she was in a relationship with Gordon. She finds out that Nikolai intentionally put Gordon out there to try to kill him, send him off into space.
Right.
And he tries to pressure her, saying, you need to be loyal to Russia. Like, that's what your calling is. She's angry for legitimate reasons. And so, she tests the waters with Kira, more or less, to discuss things. And so when Kira trusts Veronica, they hatch this plan to distract the other crew astronauts and then get the samples to the ship.
Yeah, and
ends up dying in that whole scenario.
And I do like Veronica's arc as a character, right? Where she chooses to trust Kira and she kind of forces that hand where she meets her at her bunk. But I did think that the result of that was very, I saw it coming 1,000 miles away where, oh, she says this, whatever. Oh, it's a lie. Oh, wait, she was telling the truth the entire time.
I'm going to be honest. Once the whole conflict started off, Christian's actions, and maybe just me as a writer, but his actions, freaking out, I was like, he's going to betray everyone later on. For me, it was just he's going, so when he turned traitor later on in the movie, I think it's supposed to be a big reveal. For me, I mean, I put it as the big reveal because that's essentially was supposed to be that. But I wasn't surprised because I could see it coming. I was like, oh, he's going to betray them later on. I called it early on in the movie.
Oh, I am so excited to get to that.
And he, you know, he's supposed to be on the same side as like Kira. He lies to her and, but like just to save his own skin.
Cool. Well, I think we've really discussed the villain for a good bit. Just quickly, what do you think about? Is there an ideal in this story, and is there something that's a goal that's important to the hero in this story?
Honestly, this was one of those things I didn't actually like. I tried to think, I couldn't think of an ideal. Like you mentioned trust, which I actually didn't think of when I was writing my review out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll be honest, my impression, like, I was thinking about this movie for a while afterwards, and I was just trying to think, is there an ideal? Is there, like, a theme for this movie? And yeah, I guess you could make the argument, oh, trust, being united. Like, it seemed to be making those plays, but I felt like it wasn't strong. Like, those ideas weren't, like, played out well enough. It wasn't shown very well. Like, at least in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, yeah. Like, I got the impression that this movie had, like, strong intensity, like, a... Like, there's, like, all these intense scenes. It's, like, almost like an adrenaline ride on a roller coaster, but there was no point at the end.
That's interesting. There's definitely some movies that I've watched that I felt like that. Or even afterwards just felt nasty, where it's, like, yeah. Oh, what? Like, I did not enjoy that at all. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so...
I mean, and maybe I'm being a little bit more harsh on that point. I don't know.
Well, I'm just curious how you got such a higher number than me at this point. But
okay, so, well, I will say I did give it full marks for heightened tension because this movie had me at the edge of my seat a lot. A good duration of the movie. I was just like, there is scene like there, it, the way it's shot, the way the story is paced, it is very well paced. It is very intense at certain scenes. Uh-huh.
Okay, like, we'll get to that.
I likened it to a roller coaster.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. We'll get to that in a minute. For a minute, let me just like make the case real quick for why I think that there is an ideal in the story, and then we can move on real quick. I think that the idea of trust is pretty strong in this story.
Mm-hmm.
In that you see it in Veronica, you see it in Alexei especially, you see it Gordon, something that he tries to support at the beginning of the movie. Kira, she has to kind of work through it, but gets it overall. I think that the idea of trust is very strong. What I don't think is that it is embodied in the main protagonist very well. And so that's where I think, is the goal of the movie important for the hero's life? I don't think so. And that's because at the end of the day, this character, Kira, has nothing to lose if she dies other than her own life. There is no like reason that she should be alive any more than the other characters in the story, right? There's nothing driving her other than the raw animal instinct for survival. Whereas these other characters, they have like, oh, I have nieces that I need to get back to, or oh, I have children I need to get back to, or oh, it is my duty as a citizen of Russia to bring these medicines back to my people and save them, right?
Yeah.
What, like, there's these other very strong motivations for these other characters, whereas for Kira, if anything, I get a greater sense of ambivalence to a lot of like the same scenarios that hit people, like, very drastically, where they're in tears, and she, out of anyone, is the least likely to be in tears in most of these scenarios.
So, I mean, they do mention she was in a relationship or something back on Earth in one of the scenes. Like, so it's not like she had nothing, but it's not clear if she has any present ties to what's going on Earth. Like, if everyone has everyone on board the ship, she has, like, the least amount of reason to go back to Earth, I guess. Like, nothing to motivate her to obey orders or to get back to Earth or like, there's very little was shown about her personally, aside from the fact that she was in the Marines and then she had a relationship or something.
Right. But, and they do say in that conversation with Gordon that that relationship ended up terminating when she found out that she was cheating on her. So, it didn't sound like she had very strong ties to anyone back on Earth. Especially because she wasn't going to phone back and tell anyone she had arrived or anything like that. So, I just didn't think she really had a lot going for her as a character.
Yeah.
And I think they tried
to make her a positive character, like a good person, but it's just like, that's not enough. Like, it wasn't a fully fledged, a good person, like a positive, happy character isn't like a fully rounded character.
Yeah.
It's just part of.
Right. And I've seen ironically enough, we've reviewed several movies on this podcast recently with characters who really had nothing to lose. And I don't think you have to try really hard to make the case that a character, when they have nothing to lose, needs to be involved in the conflict, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's where this movie fails. I think this is where John Wick fails. And I think that Gladiator was very good at taking that same scenario and threatening to do the same thing, but turning it around and giving him a cause to fight for. Mm-hmm. So I think that they did very well building this backstory, compelling backstory about all these bad things that happened to her, even if it's just hinted at about her past life. But if she's just lost all these things and she's in, you know, mourning, that's not a reason to, you know, fight for the good of America and defeat the Russians or work together with the Russians to bring the International Space Station alive and keep everything together. You know, there is no motivation there and no emotional buy-in from her as a character that made her compelling. And so that's where it's like, all for me, a lot of her points that specifically tie to the main character and her investment in this story are zeros for me in there, because she wasn't a very compelling character, and she was less compelling than all the side characters. So I wasn't giving her points on that.
Yeah. I mean, she's literally the embodiment of, like, she's trying to do the right thing just because it's the right thing to do. Like, there's no, like, no basis, like, or given very little basis for why that's.
That's a good point. I hadn't really thought about that, like doing the right thing just for being the right thing. Because there are, any time I see that, that just, like, pisses me off. Because
no, it should. It should. It should grate on you, because it's like, that's not a good character. It's like, it's a lazy attempt at making a good character, but it's not like. It's lazy. It's what it is. It's lazy. It's not like you make an attempt, but you don't. It's like you tell. It's you show don't. You're supposed to show don't tell. They failed to show. They try to tell you and skip by it.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. Stories are built on conflict, right? Mm-hmm. Conflict is the basis of any story. If nothing bad happens, you're not going to watch it. You don't care. Like, no one wants to just see a happy life. So conflict is the basis of stories. When conflict occurs, you have bad things happening. And when bad things happen, choosing the morally upright best thing to do is hard, because it generally means you put yourself in a disadvantageous situation. And so in order to do that, you have to have some justification for why you would just do that out of nowhere. Are you someone who's very, very religious, right? Do you have a very strict code? Do you have, you know, pressure from friends and family? Do you have some sort of past hurt that teaches you you have to do the right thing in this specific scenario all the time, right? Whatever it is, you have to have something in your life that motivates you to do the right thing in this scenario. You don't just do it out of the blue. And so when she is this rather just basic upright character, it's a little unbelievable, because doing the right thing is hard. And just doing that as a automatic function of yourself is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was a good point. I hadn't really thought about that, but yeah, I like that a lot. What did you think? We can get to the part that you really like now. Let's hear you gush about how the heightened tension existed in this story.
If you go from beginning to end, it's like you first have them like close-knit group, where it's like they're buddies more or less working together on science projects, because they're scientists, they're not soldiers. Incident breaks out on Earth, and then they get these messages, and then it's like you can see the tension already at the beginning. It's a little, but it's also like they keep certain things in the dark, like, because they show the U.S. getting the side of the message, but the Russian side, like, it's, did they get the message or not? Like, it's not shown what they were told. It's not until Gordon goes out into space, and like, because they say the antennas needs to be fixed, he goes out there. The antenna doesn't need to be fixed. It's perfectly fine. That's when the control arm bats him, like trying to send him off into space. And Zerviel Nikolai did that, and the comms were jammed. Then it comes out on the Russian side, like, we got the orders too. So they made the first move, and then it's almost like it escalates from there. It's like this, it's not like immediate, like blown warfare or anything. It's like, it's gradual. Right. And it's like, you see the actions of the individuals, you see them in conflict, like working behind each other's backs, except for Christian. Like, that's held until the end as the bigger reveal. But like, you just see it happening gradually over time. And it's like, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And as it gets worse, you see damage happening to the station. You see, moves made that can't be taken back, and then of course you see bodies start to fall.
Right,
starting with Veronica, and then you have the big fight between Gordon and Nikolai in the chamber where both of them kill each other.
Right,
and then the reveal of Christian, and then there's the big fight between Christian, Alexei, and Kira. So it's just it just leads to that point. Now I will say, even though it has this great tension throughout and just keeps you at the edge of your seat, the ending is a little anticlimactic. And we can go into that in a minute, but...
You didn't feel like the tension paid off.
Yeah. No, I will say that. So it's kind of... Which is kind of where I got the idea of, like, thrill ride, where it's no point at the end.
Yeah, I'm very curious now. Oh my goodness. I feel like we must have gotten such very different views on so many different things. Heightened tension. I gave it much lower ranking than you, I'm sure. I thought it was good, right? I thought it was solid. But I wrote a whole paragraph when I was just trying to think this through. I think that this movie, because, and this kind of goes back to my original thought about who the villains were, right? The villains at the end of the day, I think, are the internal struggle that each of us feels in who's a character in the story, right? And the problem with this movie is that because they're going off of that more than, oh, it's the Americans and the Russians are the bad guys, or, oh, it's the Russians and the Americans are the bad guys, right? It's not doing that. It's more of a discussion on trying to do the right thing and what is the right thing in the situation and who to trust. They kind of balance out the bad things that happen to either side. And so you have an American, quote unquote, die, and then you have the Russian die, and then you have the Americans kind of hiding, and then a Russian turns on the other Russian, and then an American comes back, and then they go to fight, right? And so you have like relatively equal footing for both sides throughout this. And this is where I think that they failed in regards to heightened tension. They had a lot of good sub-conflict opportunity, right? They have Christian's backstory where he has these kids he wants to go back to. They have, the romance between Gordon and, I can't think of the Russian's girl's name right now. They have Nikolai and his allegiance to, Russia and all that stuff. Like, they had a lot of opportunities, and they even had Kira's, if you want to throw that in there, where she had some backstory that they could have used there. The problem was that it seemed like conveniently every time a new conflict started, it was right after a different conflict had just ended. And so you had this sub conflict between Gordon and, or the romance, right, with Gordon, and then Gordon disappears, and like, okay, now you don't have this romance tension going on, but you do have is the remorse going on with that. So you got rid of one problem, right. You got rid of one problem and you got a new one. And it's almost like that happened consistently throughout the story, where it's not so much that the tension in my mind was heightened, it was just replaced. And so I thought that the tension was relatively steady with no necessarily increase of stakes in the story as much as it was just a slightly new scenario with this new added element that replaced an old element that had just been deleted. So it was like, it was really weird because I thought it was like relatively, I think this is where the complexity of the story comes in, right? Because you have a relatively simple storyline at the beginning, you have all the branches come out afterwards, right? And it goes in all these different directions, and then you bring it back together at the end, and you bring all these connections, right? And so the opportunity to heighten the tension is where you have all of these different spidered ideas going out in all these different directions, and they kind of layer on top of each other. And all together, they make this thick knot of just nasty tension going on in your brain. You're like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? This person's going to die. This person's loved one is at stake. This person's future is at risk. You know, all these different things that's going on. And I kind of felt like they just snipped a wire at the time that a different wire came into play. And so it never got any thicker, and the stakes were never really raised. They were just kept stable. So that was where I thought that they had an opportunity for a lot of great layered conflict, and they just didn't use it. They just kind of staggered it. That's my take. But feel free to push back.
I don't agree with that, only because, like, I feel like, at least for the majority of those conflicts you mentioned, like, sure, some of them do begin and end roughly same time, as you said, but they also kind of lead into each other. Like, for example, Veronica turning on, like, going after Kira and, like, starting that alliance with her is because of Nikolai's betrayal. So it's like, each conflict kind of leads into the next one, and as it leads to the next one, it's like the actions characters are willing to take increases, like the stakes, the risks they're willing to take, like they start to be able to risk more and take more action. Like, because no one's going to kill each other straight off from the beginning, it seems like. Everyone's kind of like being subtle and like, okay, like let's do the secretly kind of thing, or like try to take control. But then as the movie progresses, people become more desperate, people become more like they begin to realize they're running out of time and they need to speed things up. So then it's like you get to the scenes with Nikolai, like hunting Kira and Christian in the ship. So it's just like, so it gets to this point where like things are ratcheting up and things are getting worse. Now, I will say the exception to that is right after the fight with Gordon and Nikolai, where they kill each other. Like right after that, you could say that conflict ended, and like, because like nothing really, like there's no immediate conflict right after that. And then that's when Kira discovers that Christian lied to her and that he's planning to leave on his own.
Right.
So then that brings the tension back. I guess maybe it's just our viewpoints on the conflict itself. And maybe it's just because I'm still not convinced that the villain is like trust inside of us. Like that's the theme. I'm thinking about it. I'm not sure I agree. I don't know. It's like this movie as you said, there are some conflicting, there's a lot of conflicts in the middle of this movie, like between different characters, because characters are very well developed. The conflicts like flow naturally between them, but it also makes the movie like a little unclear if it's like, as far as themes and ideas go, like if there's supposed to be a overarching like main theme, like I would say it's probably something like trust or being united or something, because like that's clear by the ending, like that's what they're trying to do.
Right.
It's also very weakly done, so it's not like a very strong theme. It's just,
I see what you're saying, and I think that I would agree that it is a more fundamental discussion on what is the story about, right? Mm-hmm. I think if you come from the viewpoint that this story isn't about trust, or that the internal conflict of trust isn't the central locus of a conflict, then you're going to come to a different conclusion than I am on whether or not the tension is compelling in this movie. And maybe that's going to make it more compelling for you, right? Because you see that these characters, oh, there's an American that dies, or they make some progress or whatever. The only thing I would say as maybe a counter to what you said, but it's not much of a counter, it's more that I thought that death was always on the table in this movie from the very beginning.
Well, and I mean, so yeah, it's like you're in space. Death is always going to be on the table. So,
So I didn't really think that ever really changed the way they did it. Overall, I see what you're saying. And I agree that it goes down to fundamentals. Did you think that there was a big revelation in this movie? You've kind of said it already, but I think if you want to make the case ending.
It was supposed to be a like secret reveal. I guess it's one of those things where like sometimes, like, because I've done a fair share of writing, like and still write too, and it's just like, well, like I'll see things that other writers do and other storytellers do. I'll watch a movie or show, and I've said this in a different episode, like I'll watch something and like I'll start to see things and I'm like, like I'll like in my brain, it'll click and I'll see what is going on. And sometimes it feels like no one sees it around me and like they're all caught off guard. And then sometimes it's like, oh, I saw that too. So it's like, this is one of those times where I'm not sure if this is quite clear to everyone, the average viewer, or if it's just me or like you and me, where it's just like, okay, like with our experience, we can kind of see what this is, like what's happening here.
Well,
so like, I think it was supposed to be the secret, like big reveal, but I don't know that. I don't know if it's really good or not. Like, it was hard for me to rate this point, and that might be another point where I gave it more points than I should have.
Interesting. I guess it's a good point. I mean, I would say that generally, if I don't find something as having a big revelation to me, it's generally not. It doesn't get points for me on this point. I always say this. I say this all the time. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to continue to say it. The revelations section of the review is the hardest section. And that's somewhat intentional because I think this is what separates the good movies from the great movies. Where the good, you can tell a solid story and be very compelling as a story and not have a surprise twist ending. And honestly, if all else fails, you're a fantastic writer if you can do that, right? Don't focus on having a plot twist. But the plot twist is a valuable thing that is a great addition that helps keep it memorable in people's minds, where you have, like I've said before, the Sixth Sense, where, oh my goodness, he was dead the whole time, or you have Star Wars, where he says, I am your father, right? And that changes everything. And those kinds of things are phenomenal, and they stick in our minds because they change so much about what the movie means. But they also flow naturally from the conflict. And so you want to make sure that happens. A lot of that has to do with, and this is just my opinion here, but hinting at it without hinting too much. And that's a very, very hard line to draw because
it's good foreshadowing.
Right.
What you're
foreshadowing, exactly. In a way that you've given enough that when it comes around, it's justified. But not enough that everyone kind of sees it coming. And that's where it is hard, especially like what you're saying, Avalon, where you see it coming, I see it coming. And so you say, well, this is the plot twist that they're going for. And in my mind, I go, oh, that's not really a plot twist because I saw that coming since, you know, the first 10 minutes of the movie. But yeah, I see what you're saying. I think I don't know how I would tilt my rating to justify someone who can't surprise me.
I can try to be nice. I sometimes try am too nice, and I'm not as critical as I should be. Stop thinking what other people would of experience. Can be surprised. It's not like I can't be surprised watching something. I can be like, I'll watch something and something will catch me off guard and I'll be shocked. Like, that'll happen. It's just rare for it to happen now.
It's very difficult because you almost have to think of a third option in a lot of scenarios where it's like, oh, this person dies or they don't. Or it's like, well, what if there's a third option? It's like, well, what is the third option? I don't know. No one else knows. That's the point, is that you have to like figure something out that no one would think of in this normal scenario. So that's legitimately a hard thing to do. But I honestly put down as what I thought they were trying to make as the surprise scenario in this was Gordon coming back, almost like coming back to life was supposed to be a surprise, a movie changing revelation, which it could have been. What you said, but for Christian, but the problem was is he died so quickly after he quote unquote came back to life that you go, well, what was the point of that? Because any number of people could have been given a justification to kill Nikolai in this scenario, and the only reason they brought Gordon back from disappearing out into the abyss of space was to have him come back onto the ISS and get into this death match with Nikolai where both of them die. And it was, what was the point? Like, why did we do this? So I thought it was pretty crappy. I didn't give it points for that. Or for having a surprise ending, because the ending was pretty predictable as well.
Yeah.
But what'd you think of the ending?
I just realized, I know another reason why my points are so high, because I'm just reading through my notes, and one of my scores is the exact opposite of my notes, where it's like, I gave it, like, really bad notes, but the review, the rating is high. Like, wait, how did that happen? I don't know.
5 stars!
Like, wait.
Yeah.
As far as the ending, I guess I was a little satisfied with some parts of it, but not completely satisfied. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely one of those movies where it's just like, if you're looking for, like, it definitely is an intense ride in space. And I guess there are times like you want that where it's just like, okay, like something like, especially with a space survival story. Because another series I really loved, you haven't seen this, The Expanse, is another space story series set in space. And it's just like they had all these situations where people are like on the verge of death, like trying to survive in the void and the black of space. Mm-hmm. And it's just mm-hmm. like, I love that. Like, I guess part of me really likes those kind of stories. So like there's a part of me that was kind of satisfied with some of the intensity of the movie. But you're right. It wasn't like a great movie overall. Like there was definitely things that are detractors from my experience.
Yeah. So. And like, I didn't hate the ending, kind of what you're saying either. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there was a reason to hate it. Mm-hmm. I did feel like it was a little lacking, but mm-hmm. I mean, for example, they don't show you where they land or who actually gets the medicine, right?
Yeah.
And I
I
actually liked that as a viewer, because I thought that like that wasn't the point of the movie. And I think that the bigger point was that did these two groups figure out how to trust each other and say, we're going to stick together no matter what happens. Right. Mm-hmm. And so we don't know what happens, but the point at the end of the day was that they figured that out, right. They figured out their conflicts and decided to work together, even though they were told to not. Mm-hmm. And so I actually liked the ending to that degree, but I didn't think it was surprising or like phenomenal or anything like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like the ending left things to be desired. I mean, and maybe it's just because they're trying to leave it ambiguous. Mm-hmm. I mean, as you said, if it was trust, I guess that makes some level of sense why they ended it like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like you have Kira and Alexei, like they're in the shuttle together, like one Russian, one US astronaut, and like they're going back to Earth, but they're kind of disobeying orders. They're like leaving the ISS unmanned. They're it's not clear what's going to happen. Like, it's clear from their responses going to the ISS that they're expecting victory. Both sides are.
Right.
They're expecting, like, they're still wanting the objective, and it hasn't been done. So,
yeah.
There's no, it's like, it's unclear what's going to happen to them at the very end, like, when they're going back to Earth. Like, what's going to happen? I kind of would like a little bit more closure on that front, I guess, for me personally, but I don't know.
I need to know who gets it.
So, well, I feel like maybe it's just because it's like, maybe because I saw the conflict a little bit more as like being united or like trying to reconcile their differences or something. I don't know. Like, because I felt like even from the get-go from this movie, like when the conflict started coming out, there was only 4 endings this movie could potentially have. 2 of them being US wins, Russia wins. Like those are the 2 possible endings. 3rd ending being the space station just blows up and everyone dies.
Right.
And then the 4th one being like, oh, they somehow reconcile the differences and figure out a solution together, which is predictably what happened.
Right.
But in a way, it's still like, if that was the whole point of the movie, like that was only between the astronauts. It wasn't between the governments. It wasn't between, like, it kind of leaves some of the conflicts in that regard that are hiding on in the background. They just leave them open-ended.
I mean, obviously, they weren't central to the story. So it's not like that they were necessary to be to be completed. But it does leave something wanting. And I think that's, I guess, the question between, like, some good stories. Some people would argue that the fact that you want to see what happens next is the sign that this is a great story and that you should want to to have that questions lingering at the back of your mind.
Well, I don't know.
Because there's a certain degree in which there is no way any storyteller is going to answer every question you have in your mind. And so they're probably spending way too much time explaining things that really shouldn't be explained. And so there's a certain sense in which you as the audience fill in some of those gaps that they leave for you intentionally. Now, there are some movies like this, or in more drastic examples, they do it more intentionally, such as in The Thing, which we just recently reviewed on this podcast, where it's a horror movie. And at the very end, the question is, who is bad and who is good? And you don't know. And that in some ways just pisses people off, because you just don't know and you won't ever know. And so sometimes the leaving of questions is intentional in stories. And to a certain degree, obviously, you're not, if you're trying to be unsettling, you're going to leave bigger questions like they do in The Thing. But in a more general sense, you can't answer every question. And so some questions will remain unanswered. And so what questions can you justifiably leave unanswered? I thought that this was one of those cases. It sounds like you did not, which is,
I mean, I guess maybe it just would have helped to understand the motivations for, like, cause we're left in the dark what's happening on Earth, more or less.
Sure.
It would have been, and I guess maybe there's a part of it was like, why does NASA and the Russians, why do they each want the International Space Station? Like, that's maybe not clearly spelled out in the conflict of the movie, like, especially with this big battle going on Earth. Like, what is, like, this isn't a military site. This isn't like a bomb dropping like space station or something. So it's almost like, what is the point of this station? Like, they're doing tests up here. And it's like, okay, I guess I would have liked to have seen like more reasons from the governments, like why we need this, like why, like they want their teams to take the ISS. So that's never answered. And
so
I guess I would have liked to have known more of that, but that was never explained. And also, just to be clear, like, you can leave a conflict hanging, like, as you said, but not necessarily want to see the next one. Like, if a sequel were to, say, come out for this movie, I would not watch it. I'm just saying that right now. Just, like, I have no desire to see a second movie or even necessarily to rewatch this one. It's just, like, I'm kind of, like, bummed more. Like, well, why didn't they answer this question? It's almost, like, disappointment, I guess, for me.
Yeah, I would say my understanding of the taking over of the space station was specifically for the cure. So they wanted them to take over the station so they could get this cure for radiation from a nuclear fallout that they could then take back to their country. And the idea was that they could get it first to make sure that the other country didn't get it. And clearly, since they're at war, they don't really trust the other country to give them the cure to the problem they caused. So it wasn't like it would, if that is the reason, that they would be unjustified. But that was my understanding of the scenario.
Okay.
The transformation, I know we kind of talked about this a little bit. I don't know if you have anything to add other than you didn't really think trust was a significant factor in this story. Did you have a theme at all for this movie? It's fine to say no. I mean, obviously, we've disagreed a lot on this one, which is phenomenal.
Very weak theme, I guess, would say. It'd just be more like, I thought it had like something of like kind of uniting, like almost like trying to unite despite the differences. Like, I don't know, because maybe it was just that whole strong scene of unity at the very beginning of the movie, where it's just like all these, like, they're working together, like, despite nations and boundaries, like, they're all one planet, one Earth, one people, kind of thing. And then it's like them trying to retain that throughout the movie, and it's like Kira and why am I blanking on his name all the time, Alexei, like, they managed, they're the only two that managed to hang on to that, and everyone else, they kind of fall off the wayside because they decide to abandon the others to pursue their own goal, or to pursue, like, get revenge or whatever.
Yeah, I gave them full points for my points over here, but I do think that it's like, this was the stronger point in my mind in the movie, that it did have a strong theme. I did think that the character grew. I thought that the character as a whole of Kira was kind of crap, so they lost a ton of points early on from me on this one. but I did think that the trust ring out in the end, or extending trust is how we overcome barriers, something along those lines, was really like the theme of this movie. And I think that they made it, they almost put it in your face in some ways. So I think that it almost like was too much, but I think that they were actually pretty good at writing the line of not making it too excessive. So it was good in my opinion, but I also took away points in areas you did not. So that's fine. Did this movie leave you satisfied? I think I know the answer, but
go ahead. Only in a vague sense.
Okay. There you go. So what'd you give it? Like, did you give it in the middle? Did you say no way? Or did you say let's go for the next one?
What? No, I didn't say let's go. I guess the middle of the road is where I kind of went.
Okay, yeah. It was interesting because this was one of those situations where I wanted to give it points, but at the same time, I just didn't feel like it justified it. Mm-hmm. Where it was like, I really wouldn't watch the next one. Kind of like what you said. I really wouldn't. It was fine. I didn't love it. I probably wouldn't watch it again. You know, where there's other movies that are even independent movies, you know, Cyrano or The Marsh King's Daughter or any of these other movies where if it was showing on a screen nearby or my friends were watching it, I'd be like, sure, I'd watch that. This one, I'd be like, oh yeah, there's a couple good scenes in here. And then I'd walk on and do something else, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So especially because you know how it ends. I think a lot of the tension comes from not knowing who's going to die or, you know, what's going on exactly. And once you know that, I don't think the arc is quite as compelling because there's not the same kind of message, especially when you have a main character who's not really bought into the story in a compelling way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's my two cents. And that's your two cents. If you have your two cents, leave us a comment or leave us a review of www.lostplot.com. You know where to find us. Hit those stars on this.
I guess I have to change my review.
What is it? What's your review now?
Well, I mean, something, my initial score is wrong because the points weren't tallied up right. Like, I wrote the wrong score for one of them.
Sure,
so technically
sure.
It was 5.5 at the beginning.
Okay.
And now it's probably more in the range of like 4.75, something like that. Like, when we deduct the points, I definitely feel like some things I need to change. So that's probably where my final score lands.
Yeah, the only thing I would think is if I raised it or lowered it, I'd only raise it by like 0.1 for maybe I didn't give the opener enough points because the opener was phenomenal. But you know, yeah, that's it. Dude, I hate it feels so weird just as like a side to plug my own stuff. Like, this is the pod. But legit, like, it is, at the same time, like, I do appreciate it. So if you're listening and you hear that, in all seriousness, it's so weird to just say, like, hey, like and subscribe from this vantage point. But, like, if you do, it actually makes a difference. So please do. And that's it. That's all we have. We are going to be back next week. You all know it. You all are, you know, if you're sticking around, we appreciate it. So we'll see you then. So, yeah. We're out.